show.
Hey, thank you, Peter. Glad to be here.
Yeah, represents the 16th District, and you're a Colorado senator. Tim, good morning, man. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you, Peter. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the, again, he wrote a piece called Attacks on Free Speech Aren't Just Confined to College Campuses. In the piece, you talk about my favorite organization, the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, Tancredo's coming up, and Jeffco schools are using curriculum from the Southern Poverty Law Center. Tommy called, threw the BS flag at them, and they have never gotten back to Tom on anything. So you're not shocked about that. I'll turn it over to you, the king of the fearmongers, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and your thoughts.
Sure. I think, it, you know, one time, I mean, I grew up in the South, Peter, and Southern Poverty Law Center was when Morris D. was fighting the Klan back in the day. They were doing some very noble work, I believe. Unfortunately, they've morphed into an organization that has focused on raising money and using their hate map to try to raise money for the organization. And they've actually branded so many people that are not hate groups as part of that and really, you know, besmirched their reputation, but also put people in danger. I mean, we've had situations like the shooting in Washington, D.C., with the Family Research Council that related back to the shooter said that he took action because he saw them on a list, a hate list with the Southern Poverty Law Center. So, you know, they've really lost their way.
Well, they've also named schools now and named schools that have, quote, bad names or politically incorrect names. They put out a list of schools, elementary schools. What kind of sickness runs these people?
Well, it kind of reminds me of, you know, if you go back in history, you've seen it before where, I mean, even back to the French Revolution when they started basically a reform movement that started making sure the guillotine was busy. And after a while, everybody was in line for the guillotine.
Yeah, Robespierre gets the guillotine. But that's the notion of witch hunting, that eventually the witch hunters hunt themselves. So that we've been talking about that for years, that these people will find more and more things to what do you do now with? And has anything crossed your desk or had anybody come up and lobby you on name changing here in Colorado?
Yeah, they have not yet. I imagine we'll probably see things, and we may see something within the next legislative session. But, you know, it's kind of funny. I mean, you know, with history, you have to put everything in perspective, but you also have to understand, you know, what is the proper role of history? What is the proper role of whether it be monuments or whatever else? We do have teachable moments. So when Jason Glass put out, Superintendent Glass with Jeffco Public Schools, put out his comments regarding teachable moments, yes, we do have teachable moments. But you have to include all the details, including what led up to, in the Charlottesville issue, what led up to Charlottesville and what the protest was about and how it was handled. You have to get all the details out in front, and I don't think utilizing curricula that is designed by the Southern Poverty Law Center is in the best interest of people in Jefferson County.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Tom in the 8. I got $5, says they haven't gotten back to Tom. So having said that, free speech, the First Amendment, as you know, Berkeley and all these different campuses, the only acceptable speech is their speech approval, not the First Amendment. And as Jefferson teaches us, the First Amendment is not what you like. It's about what you don't like. And these people, they're destroying. And again, I say this all the time, the second and the first, most historians that I read say, if you can get the second, you'll get the first. The second is there to protect the first. Your thoughts?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, I'm a big Second Amendment, activist when it comes to what the Second Amendment means and that it's the linchpin. It's the linchpin for all of our individual rights. And I think that we have problems in society where we talk about there's a lot of conversation, Peter, about group rights. But really, the Constitution outlines individual rights, not necessarily group rights, because how do you have group rights and how do you put certain people in certain groups? Is that what we're trying to do within a constitutional republic?
And Tim Neville's with us. Are people trying to give human rights to rivers and streams and prairie dogs? And I mean, this is the absurdity of the liberal left. But and then coming up with a term that you talk about, hate speech. So what is what really is hate speech? Hate speech is what?
Well, I think a lot of people believe that hate speech is just something that they find, you know, they don't agree with. And, you know, the thing that they have to understand is that the First Amendment was there to protect all kinds of speech, including what many people may classify as hate speech. You don't need to protect, as you mentioned before, you don't need protection from something that, you know, is kind and fluffy and nice and everybody agrees with it. But you do need protection of speech that people do find disagreeable. But there's a difference between hate speech, and then the limit on that is speech that actually incites people to commit violence or to take actions against their fellow citizens. That's where the division has been under law, and courts have found. And I think that's a proper division.
Our guest is Tim Neville. Did John of Arabia, John Southers, did he have the right to tell an organization that was coming to the Springs he would not give them any public support?
Absolutely not.
I agree.
No, he basically swears an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Colorado, and everyone is designed that is afforded that protection. All of our as elected officials, we only have one responsibility: it's to serve the people, and also to uphold the Constitution that we swear to uphold. So, that was a dereliction of duty.
No, but it's John Southers. He's one of the more interesting members of your party. <It's> like, John of Arabia.
Well, both parties have very interesting people,
they do.
And it's always a challenge. And I think, Peter, that many people out there get frustrated, particularly in the grassroots, the people that I talk to, with parties in general. And it would be fortunate, I think our party has some very, very solid platform issues that we've adopted,
yeah.
And unfortunately, we run into problems when people just forget about that platform, yeah. and that platform comes up from the grassroots. It's a great process that people have been to their caucuses and seen how that works, but when some people, for their own convenience or political expedience, decide to violate those, it creates a problem, and it does hurt the brand.
Well, when he went to Saudi Arabia to explain the American justice system to El Turki's family and the king, and no one knows who paid for it and who sent him. And, of course, there's never been any really hard inquiries into that. And now he's the mayor of Colorado Springs. I think when people ask me who's the most interesting and or fascinating politician, elected official in Colorado, it's hands down Southers. He is he's an adventure. And he got away with
it.
Oh, come, please.
Yeah. Transparency and, sunlight, they always say sunlight is the greatest disinfectant.
Not here.
And I think for the political system, that's true, too.
Yeah.
So
well,
shining a light on it is pretty important.
Who did you ever ask him who paid for those trips?
I haven't, and I haven't had a conversation with John Southers I may have only had several in my career here down at the legislature. Shared a number of frustrations, whether it be the Jack Phillips case and other issues where I felt that the constitutional provisions weren't put in at the forefront.
Yeah. They're fascinating characters with a hard-hitting media. You can't ever second-guess these guys. Our guest has been Tim Neville. I'm a fan of tax on free speech, not just confined to college campuses. As the time would come, maybe not tomorrow afternoon, but they would certainly do away with talk radio if they could as well.
Well, you're right, Peter. If they can get rid of the, the Second Amendment is that linchpin, because it's the only thing that gives a pause to government that's run amok and out of control.
Take care of yourself, Tim. We'll talk real soon. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. 303-696-1971. Back, Marty, to the future, the NFL. 303-696-1971. When we broke away, we had jam lines. Come back on the show. Mark Miller from MC1 coming up. Tancredo, and then the hitman, Joe Williams. I promised that I would do this. Yesterday, I had a fellow on hold talking about his son and his son's buddies. Don't believe anything about this Brandon Marshall story. So I went into the archives and pulled up my notes from a couple of columns that I wrote about Brandon Marshall. So let me take you back into time, because John Elway is citing Brandon Marshall this morning in a laydown piece by Nikki Jambalaya. I have a lot of respect for Elway. As I mentioned, I have a handshake. How are you doing, John? Relationship, that's as far as it goes. He's sort of doing a Jerry Jones right now, and it's going to go nowhere. Jerry Jones, I've lost my respect for Jerry Jones. Big deal. I'm sure Jerry's worried about that. But I have, again, with Elway, they're learning nothing. And the Denver Post, the Channel 9, KOA, I mean, it's really tragic. So I went back into my into the archives. And I want to tell you what this is about. Let me read you Brandon, when him and Nikki Jambalaya did that horrible thing in the Post. Now, I want you to put on, what did they say? Put on your thinking caps. Be a critical thinker. And here goes Brandon Marshall. I was in Miami, and I'm going to put, obviously, caveats. I was in Miami with three others at a restaurant, and there was a shooting. Now, A, he doesn't mention the names of the three other people. It doesn't mention the name of the restaurant. I was in Miami with three others at a restaurant, and there was a shooting. Everyone ducked under the table out of fear, and a cop came in and told us it was fine. It was just fireworks. Now, here we go. They're still in a collective here. We knew that wasn't the truth. So ballistics expert Brandon Marshall knows it wasn't the truth. How? How did you know it wasn't the truth? So we were still in a collective. We began to leave the only way we knew. And here comes another one, hard to believe. There was a lady in regular street clothes directing traffic. Give it a minute. Go this way. At a serious, scary moment, a lady I didn't know was telling me which way to go, and I didn't trust it. Again, we knew it wasn't fireworks. We knew it wasn't true. A lady without any authority of directing traffic telling him what to do. Now, I like this again. So he goes to the single part, I didn't know, not we. We're going from we to I and I to we. So we go back to we. We went our own way. She yelled to the cops, stop him, get him. Not get them, not stop them, get him. We go back to single, and the woman is calling the cops on them. When I turned, now everybody vanishes. When I turned around, about five officers rushed toward me to take me down. They tried to take me down up top. They tried to grab my legs. Where are your friends? Where's somebody with a cell phone? There's nobody there. They, and this is down, he's down to a single person now. We went on our way. She yelled to the cops, stop him, get him. Not them, him. When I turned, five cops rushed toward me to take me down. They tried to take me down up top. Then they tried to grab my legs, and they put a taser on my chest. Handcuffed me. I heard them say, take him in. Now, where's all the other friends? Where are they? Where's the video cameras? They had him in the back of the cop car, headed to the station. One of the officers radios in and says, bring him back. They took me back and said, no, no friends, nothing. And they, now listen, any of you guys ever been arrested? I have been. Ever been taken down? Look, we're not going to take you in as long as you keep this between us. No explanation. And how many times do you think the cops would say, if you don't say anything, we won't say anything? There's a police brutality lawsuit here from here to Parker Road. Nothing. So, unlike the other hard-hitting fact checkers in the Denver media, I decided to take a run at this. Now, I started making phone calls. The Miami Police Department has no record of him being detained or anything like what he described taking place. There was no gun. I mean, come on, quit it. But I take it for you. This is now Detective Robin, P-I-N-K-A-R-D, P-I-O, for the Miami-Dade Police Department. Writing. We do not have any reports or arrest forms for allegations involving Brandon Marshall. This is John Rivera, president of the Dade County Police Benevolent Association. We are doubtful of the validity of Marshall's story, and if no police report about Marshall was filed, Rivera said some kind of record would exist. Radio transmissions, at least. The use of body cameras. The Miami department has body cameras. There's nothing showing up about five officers, and they would have some sort of communication with one another. Need for additional officers, whatever it was. And if you put someone in the car, you get on the radio and announce you're going to transport. You're going to transfer for somebody, and they call them transport calls. There is no mention, any broadcast anywhere, no recordings that substantiated Marshall's report, including the use of the Marshall-mentioned radio phrase, bring him back. What do you want? You want to believe that? Show of hands in radio land, how many of you believe that Brandon Marshall got taken down by five cops, chained up and put a taser on his chest. That is a great, Brandon, you could quit playing football. Dude, you would have the lawsuit of a lifetime. Not a word, nothing. What happened to the friends? What's the name of the restaurant? The friends suddenly disappear. No friends jump in to help him. No video cameras. The friends aren't mentioned. One of the names of the friends that witnessed is Brandon, Denver Post, Nikki Jambalaya, Channel 9, KOA, John Elway. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Now, Jerry Jones has made a fool out of himself. Nobody's going to go. And you know what? This isn't about Trump suing anybody. This isn't about whatever. You've got to watch a game. Go watch a game. Don't hammer this around. All right. Your turn, 303-696-1971. I do that for the benefit. And also, Von Miller got dropped by Phil Long. Now, Brandon, Nikki Jambalaya is back in the Denver Post. That's not, of course, it's what happened. It's exactly what happened. I just get smoke out of this, man. Come on. You know, and they think that you are such, what are those things that go off the cliff in Norway, the lemmings? They think you're a lemming. They really do. They think you're a total lemming. And they also think you're going to come back.